engines. They go far deeper than anything available to the public. If anything could find his weave self, they could. But the firm manages them on behalf of INSEC. They can only look for data related to live, official investigations. And once Holt's on the case, he'll run searches of his own. He took a swig from his hip flask and smiled a relieved smile.
Probably even use our engines for it.
So, how do I reach him? Chapter 7. The round and limited skies of Docklands had become an ocean, the twins' iconography engines starting their Taste Refresh festival celebrations. Leela walked through quiet residential streets towards Inspector Holt, gazing up at the spectacle. Content micropayments ran out of her account without her conscious permission. Budgeting was no longer a concern. Shoals of fish swarmed lazily around the cylindrical city's higher buildings. Brilliant reds and oranges clash with softer blues and purples. Pastel subtleties were shot through with lines of electric brilliance. With every second of attention that she paid to the twins' display, extra details appeared. Seaweed billowed out around her, green as emeralds. Jellyfish pulsed into being, soft tentacles lazing out from round bodies, shining with stained glass brilliance. A lobster scuttled by. The voice of the twins rose up in her ears, a single whisper twined together from male and female lips.
Together we provide tasting better than it ever has.
The air around Leela filled with soft blue, becoming water shot through with dapples of sunlight. The black O of space was invisible behind it all.
This was too much unreality.
A happy memory of Dieter struck her. Touching her black pendant, she shut down the twins' brand experience and opened herself up to the weave's non-human layers. The air filled with digital song, the white goods of stations singing out to each other and to the providers that supplied them. Refrigerators summoned food. Cookers shared recipes. Cleaning units called for detergent. Wardrobes propagated the latest trends. She remembered Dieter enthusing about them.
They're as much a part of the weave as we are, and they share as much data on it as we do.
But nobody ever thinks to listen. Nobody ever thinks to look. His eyes sparkled.
And there's so much less security around them.
He'd been so happy, poking around in their depths, understanding yet another hidden part of station's infrastructure. She smiled to herself, consoled by the past. Another few minutes and she'd nearly reached her destination. The last time she'd been in an INSEC branch, she was picking Dieter up on his release from prison. She was still alive then. When she left college and he'd walked out of his job, an end-of-employment check had uncovered the changes he'd made to his medical records to avoid the soft war draft. Falsifying personal data was a serious offence. But Ambrose had found Dieter a tribunal representative who'd successfully reframed the hack as an act of resistance to Kingdom's corruption. So Dieter's sentence had been short, a few months only. It had still felt like a very long time. Leela had waited in the dingy reception area until he came out of the door that led to the holding cells. She was so happy to see him. He gave her a hug the size of a planet.
Bugger, he told her. All I've been looking forward to, apart from seeing you, of course.
Within minutes, they were seated in a twins burger joint, and he was chomping his way through a meal.
I can't believe these new names, he told her through a mouthful of meat.
She couldn't remember if he'd ordered a grande prison break with cheese or a double fuck you animal style. The burgers were the same ones he'd always loved, but their names had modified themselves according to his latest key life event.
At least the chips are still just chips, he joked, not crispy tunnelers or fucking free me fries.
Arriving at the INSEC branch pulled her back to the present. She caught a glimpse of a dingy reception area. The duty officer sat in a secure-looking booth. Three sullen teenagers, their faces and knuckles bloody, stood next to a lightly armored insect street guard. Perhaps they were gun kiddies who got carried away. Then the Rose's weave systems meshed with hers. All four of them disappeared as the god's premium weave content kicked in and overlaid reality with illusion. Leela found herself standing in a light, airy room, tastefully decorated in a range of fashionable colours. Lights that had been fluorescent strips now glowed softly. The wire mesh that protected the booth disappeared. The strapline above it changed from "Nothing to hide, nothing to fear," to "Your safety first, every time." Next to it, there was a shimmering message board headed "For your consideration." It listed a series of different criminal cases, each followed by numbers. For a moment, Leela assumed that the branch was boasting about its clear-up rates. Then she saw that the numbers were headed "Potential Commissions." She knew that Rose was happy to sell cases to private investigation businesses, paying out on their successful resolution, but she'd never seen a list of them before. She gathered herself and moved towards the booth, trying to look comfortable in this strange new world. She told the attractive young receptionist that she had an appointment with Inspector Holt. Of course, there was no question of waiting in a public area. Leela was ushered straight into a meeting room, offered a seat on a comfortable sofa, and asked if she wanted a drink. She turned down the offer and sat waiting for Holt. She thought through her strategy. The box should catch his attention straight away. She wondered about playing up the pressure men, but decided not to. Elusive stalkers with unusual fashion taste wouldn't engage him in the way that precursor tech would. After a few minutes, he arrived. He was younger than Leela thought he would be, barely even in his late 20s. His skin had a grey tint to it, and his glazed eyes spoke numbingly of stress and exhaustion. It took him a moment to register her presence. "Halt," he said. "Please, call me Avram." They both stood there for a moment. The inspector had buttoned the front of his shirt all the way up. He gave him a very prim look. The silence started to be awkward. "Shall we sit down?" asked Leela. He started. "Oh, of course. I'm sorry." He moved to the opposite end of the couch and stiffly took a seat. "Now, what can I do for you?" he asked, pulling a stylus and notepad into existence. It didn't take long to explain the situation to him. Leela described her brother's infection, the surprise of his true death, her meeting with Cassiel, and her conversation with Ambrose.
"Oh, Ambrose, good of him to recommend me," Holt said, but he sounded nervous rather than pleased.
"He thought you'd be the right person to talk to get the ball rolling, to find out what killed Dieter and where Diodatus has taken his weave self."
"You do know that Cassiel has already been in touch with us?" "I'm afraid that very little she had to say stood up to scrutiny. I'm not sure if there's anything for us to look into here."
"I don't understand. We've got a potentially psychoactive artifact and a possible financial fraud." She nerved herself. "And Dieter's weave self might already be damaged or lost."
"Let's start with the fraud."
Holt tried to sound soothing, but Leela sensed a jagged tension in him.
"The totality of facing serious financial issues. They've grown too fast. As a result, they dislike making major resource transfers to Pantheon citizens. They always try and throw a spanner in the works. Cassiel's investigation into the payouts to you and the beneficiaries of the two other insurance policies is one of those spanners."
"So, there definitely were two other Diodatus payouts? That means two other deaths, doesn't it? She was pretty well informed about that, and that still leaves the device that killed Dieter. Doesn't that need looking into?"
Holt shifted nervously and fiddled with his collar. "It was a piece of junk, left from another time. Your brother had a known interest in this kind of illegal technology. His luck just ran out."
"It came from an unknown source who lied about where it came from. In its original form, it was decorated with symbols linked to psychoactive technology. You have an obligation to check it out. And what if the other two were killed by something similar?
They were both terminally ill, Holt replied. Nothing suspicious at all. And I repeat, there is no evidence of fraud. Do remember that the Totality want to stop these payments. If they have to, they'll fabricate evidence.
That made Leela pause for a moment. Perhaps Cassiel had lied to her. But her questions were making Holt very nervous. She felt that she was on to something. Remembering the commission list in reception, she decided to change tack.
The two other payouts, she said. They're real enough, aren't they?
Not as substantial as your brother's, but yes. Holt nodded cautiously. We confirmed them all.
And if someone proved that all three were part of some sort of crime, then solved that crime, I'd imagine the Rose would offer a pretty substantial commission?
In cases like this, that's standard, he said carefully.
And anyone who invested in the case would get a share of it.
Ms. Fennec, what are you trying to say?
Are you advertising the case? What if I tried to buy a stake in it? Bring in my own investigators?
We're not advertising it because we closed the case. And we closed it because there's no crime here. He stood. I don't want to waste any more time on this.
Leela remembered the Totality lawyer. He told her that now she was wealthy, she would find that she'd entered a new world. The new insect branding she'd just experienced was one sign of it. The ability to put significant pressure on Holt without being threatened with a fine or arrest, another. She decided to fully embrace it.
I'll have to find Dieter. I'm going to buy the investigation from you.
That's impossible.
You know how much I'm worth. I don't care what it costs.
Holt blanched.
You can't, he said. It's really not for sale.
Bullshit. Everything is these days.
How much?
I couldn't.
1 million? 2 million?
No. He was trying to be firm. Numbers shimmered in the air, not quite falling into existence. Holt waved and they vanished. Leela gasped.
The room wanted to make me an offer for it, and you stopped it.
No, replied Holt. Not at all. That was just an ad.
His voice shook.
For personal security systems.
It was clear that he was lying.
Leela stood up.
You're stopping me from buying it.
She advanced on him.
Cassiel's right. You're blocking the investigation.
Leela felt a strange, hard confidence possess her.
I'll go over your head if I have to.
There's nothing to investigate. His voice was tense with fear.
Should I talk to your boss?
How about her boss?
Or shall I just go straight to the Rose?
Leela was almost ashamed of herself for pushing Holt so hard. She told herself that he deserved it.
We all know how the gods favor the wealthy. I'll tell her how you stood in my way. Do you want that kind of attention?
Holt crumpled into a chair. He waved his hand again. Tex shivered into being before her. It showed a case number, cost of investment, and potential commission. A woman walked out of nowhere to stand next to it. She was dressed in a cream trouser suit, with thorned green piping run across it. Her skin was petal white. Her eyes and hair a deep, flaming scarlet. She held a tablet in one hand and a rose in the other, and radiated secure, controlling competence. For a moment, Leela gaped. She'd run into Rose avatars many times, but never one like this. The past flared inside her. She remembered an insect playground crime swoop. Some of the older kids might have been dealing drugs. She was barely 10. Operatives threatened her and her friends with tasers. The goddess prowled behind them as they patted the children down. Her hair, eyes, and lips were an angry crimson, a sharp, punitive brilliance flaring out of pale white skin. Her body armor was crimson, too. Wrapped around with thorned green wire, green spikes grew out of her clenched fists. Her voice was a low, thunderous rumble.
Oh, obey the law, or I will crush you. Do you understand?
Leela had asked herself what Dieter would do. She bit her lip hard, refusing to whimper like all the others. When the operatives withdrew and the older kids fled, Leela huddled her friends together and talked to them in a low, calm, reassuring voice, until the tears stopped and they could return home without creating too much parental angst. That night, she'd given Dieter the hardest hug she could. Their mother had still been alive then, but Leela couldn't remember her being around. She'd either have been lost in one of East's virtual soaps or passed out in her room. This new version of the Rose was very different, a presence focused on commerce rather than punishment.
Thank you for your interest in this case, Ms. Fennec, she said.
There was little passion in her voice. Despite her appearance, she was still a low-level avatar, representing only a small part of the god's attention.
We closed it because we felt there was no crime to investigate. Reopening it for purchase will generate overheads. The cost will be high compared to any possible commission.
I told you, Holt cut in. There's nothing for you here. You're wasting your money.
I'll pay whatever I need to, Leela told the Rose.
Then I will share the terms and conditions, replied the Rose.
She chanted legalities. Holt sat hunched at the table, looking defeated. At last the god reached the end of her litany.
What level of responsibility would you like to take on?
That was a question Leela hadn't anticipated. Without really thinking, she told the Rose, Full, 100%. The avatar flickered as it accessed a new script.
That makes you fully responsible for resolving the case. INSEC will provide no support of any kind, and will refer all queries about it to you or your nominated representative. Do you understand?
She didn't really take it in. Yes. She'd worry about the details later, once she'd got things moving. The Rose handed the flower she was carrying to Leela.
Congratulations, she said. The investigation into Diodatus is yours.
Chapter 8. As soon as Leela got home, she called Ambrose.
How did it go? He asked. Is Holt on the case?
Not quite. She told him about their meeting. So, I ended up buying the investigation, she concluded. And now I need your help. You mentioned your search engines. Dieter's now part of an official investigation, even if I'm the one running it. Could you use them to look for him?
Can't Cassiel help you, or the Fetch Counselor?
The Fetch Counselor's already tried. And I don't want to go back to Cassiel until I've found out as much as possible on my own.
There are private investigators, hinted Ambrose. Professionals.
I've got to be careful who I trust. And I know I can trust you. Please, Ambrose. She couldn't bring herself to offer him money. Trying to buy him would feel like a betrayal of their friendship. I know it's not easy, but it's for Dieter. There's something very wrong about all this. I'm afraid for him. A pause.
Oh, all right, sighed Ambrose. I'll set the engines running. They'll trawl the weave, see if they can pick up any traces of him.
How's that different from a normal weave search?
They go much deeper.
If any part of him has been in the same virtual space for more than a minute or so, it'll have bled identity data into local weave caches. The caches aren't usually purged until they're maxed out, so chances are that data's still there. The engines go hunting through them.
How long will it take?
A few hours. Come round tonight. We'll pay a visit to the firm and see what it's found.
But that's it.
I'll get you a location, nothing more.
And do remember, it'll only find him if he or his weave self stopped anywhere. If they kept him moving, he won't have left any traces.
What about the other two policyholders? Can't we look for them too?
No. The engines need core personal identifiers to show them what to sniff out. We don't have that kind of information. It's only ever available to close friends or relatives. And as I haven't seen Dieter for a while, I'll need to scrape his identifiers from your memories. I'll need the investigation number, too.
Leela gave Ambrose the number, thanked him, and ended the call. She reached into herself and copied a few random chunks of the recent past across to him. Then she realized that she had a whole free afternoon in front of her, and she didn't have a clue what she was going to do with it. It was the first time she'd had to herself since all this had begun. She sat back on the sofa and tried not to think about it all, but that was impossible. The flat's front room was full of memories. She let one after another wash over her. She thought about how protective Dieter had always been. He'd be freaking out now, she thought, wondering if she actually did need to feel threatened by Diodatus and the pressure men. That set her thinking about the skull face, the weapon her brother had built just for her. Late one night, after her recovery from the blood and flesh attack, she'd been walking home alone. She noticed a man following her down the empty streets, a threatening shadow. Never close enough to be unambiguously threatening, never far enough away to be ignored. She'd heard about human attackers hacking fetch control systems and forcing compliance on them. She reassured herself that he probably didn't know she was a fetch. At each intersection, she thought he might choose a different path, but he never did. It struck her that if he was a hacker, he probably already knew exactly what she was. Otherwise, he wouldn't be following her. He was still behind her, never any closer, never any further away. She thought about jumping home, but chided herself about paranoia. Perhaps they just happened to be heading in the same direction. Another crossing. He was still behind her. Perhaps he was hunting her. Perhaps he was drawing out the hunt. She thought about speeding up, but worried that he would too. She thought about slowing down to let him pass. She didn't want him any closer. She crossed another road and he followed. She didn't want him to see where she lived. In the end, she jumped. After she vomited, she sat in the front room, weeping with fear, anger and frustration. Dieter came to see what was wrong. A couple of days later, he suggested reactivating her skull face. She remembered how all fetches used to have them, how, before the rebirth, they'd had to wear them whenever they were in a public place. It's scary enough on its own, said Dieter. And I can add in some seriously heavy shit. Access your target's virtual sensory systems. Set up escalating feedback loops in them.
Dieter, I don't even know what that means.
Oh, sorry. So, we all receive sensory content from the Weave. Virtual sights, sounds, tastes, smells, touches. Leela nodded. Those sense ports are very easily accessible. They have to be. So much data going through them all the time. We can set it up that when you hit someone with your skull face, you'll make their sense ports think they've been overloaded. Their virtual senses will go nuts. Crazy loud noises, pain, blinding light, disgusting smells, taste, all at once. It'll only last a couple of seconds, but that'll be enough. He beamed. If anyone tries it on again, well, you'll stop him in his tracks. A few weeks later, she'd been at a friend of a friend's party. An older man weaved over to her, drink in hand. Hi, he slurred, reaching out to pull her to him, a lubricious smile swaying across his face. What the fuck? The skull face read her surprise and disgust, and shifted in the back of her mind. She wondered if this was the right moment to try it out. On the other hand, she didn't feel particularly threatened. She was with friends, and her wannabe seducer was clearly an idiot. On the other hand, he could use a lesson in good manners. And she was very curious to see her new weapon in action. What the hell, she thought. She smiled gracefully as she flicked a mental switch to activate it.
Ugh, you're a fetch, he said,
surprised as his hand passed through her.
Well, I'm open-minded.
It took a few seconds for the skull face to fully boot up. She felt it wake and unpack itself, then reach out to interrogate its target's sensory systems. It called information from Leela, too, calibrating the strength of its response to her sense of the situation. A moment as it constructed a sensory assault package, and then it signaled readiness,
So, how about it then? You, me, and breakfast.
Leela let him have it. Afterwards, when his friends had picked him up and helped him into the bathroom for a clean-up, someone tried to apologize for him.
It's just a joke. He thinks he's cutting the crap, getting straight to the point.
Cutting the crap, said Leela. I thought I was the one doing that. They didn't stay at the party much longer. Miwa was very jealous of the skull face.
Oh, can't wait till I'm a fetch, she said.
Just be patient, smiled Leela, for the first time in quite a while entirely comfortable in her own skin. It comes to us all. The next morning, Dieter guffawed when she told him about her adventure. She was pretty hungover, but she laughed too. And then she went back to bed for the rest of the day. Every couple of hours, Dieter brought her another cup of tea, chuckling quietly to himself. It's only a shame he didn't have a friend, he told her later. You could have tested out the skull face's multiple target setting. Leela smiled at the memory. She was feeling a little cheerier, but the void hours of the afternoon still stretched blankly ahead of her. She pulled herself back into her bedroom, replaced the neat little business suit she'd worn to see Holt with a t-shirt and pajama bottoms, and opened up the Deodatus case file. There was very little new information. They barely even investigated the three deaths, thought Leela. She shivered as she read her own and Dieter's names. Cause of death was left blank for him and the two other policyholders. That's bullshit, she thought. Someone's definitely crooked. She ran a weave search on the other two, but it was useless. Hundreds of possible candidates hovered in front of her. Cassiel said all she needed was the names. Maybe she could narrow it down to the right ones. She thought about getting in touch with her, but didn't want to feel wrong-footed again. She decided to wait until she had some concrete results from Ambrose's search in hand. She couldn't think of anything more to do. Feeling frustrated, she wandered back into the front room. Dieter's absence tugged at her memories. She went to the window, brought the weave up to full, and overlaid Docklands with the brand iconography of the gods, letting the twins' festival imagery dominate. The world shivered as the twins once again opened up the luxury version of their branding to her. The streets became a sea floor, lithe pathways of pristine sand running between blocks of colour-pulsed coral and drifting towers of seaweed. The spectacle was interspersed with brand messaging, whispering subtly of the luxurious new flavours the twins would soon be sharing with Station. Deciding to walk out into it all, she returned to her bedroom and tugged her wardrobe's casual wear section into being. Before she could choose anything, a query flashed up. Fancy splashing out on some new outfits? Our personal stylist Nina is ready and waiting to help you make the best of this season's fashions. No, snapped Leela. Then to herself, bloody spam. She waved the query away. For a moment, nothing happened. Then, with a sharp cracking sound, her clothes stuttered in and out of sight, then vanished in a burst of static. Damn it. The last time her wardrobe had crashed, it had taken half a day to self-check and fully reboot.
Oh, I'm so sorry, a woman said. You're flat. The bandwidth is limited. I had to force close a couple of systems to get in here.
Shit, said Leela, shocked. A slim blonde 20-something had appeared on the other side of the bed.
Are you a stylist? She asked. Gods, you gave me a fright. I said no, I didn't want to see you.
No, Leela, the woman replied. I'm not a stylist. She too was dressed in sweatpants and a t-shirt. On her, they had an impossible elegance. She smiled, and her smile contained all the care and support that the best of girlfriends could ever bring. Leela felt a tug at her mind and remembered the celebrity wear that had seized her attention in the hospital atrium. But this was manipulation of a different order.
You might say I'm the stylist.
Ah, said Leela. East. The goddess smiled.
The very same.
Shock and awe suffused Leela. Her librarian's subroutines thrust details of other visitations at her, of compliments that had mollified the goddess, of missteps that had enraged her.
Oh, there's no need to be scared, East reassured her. Leela backed away as the goddess moved round the bed. I'm a kitten, really.
She sat down on the end of the bed.
All the scary stuff is just to keep the masses in check. And you're not the masses anymore.
She patted a spot just next to her.
We need to talk. Girl to girl. Just you and me.
Part of Leela wanted to flee. But the idea of offending the goddess was far scarier than the fact of her presence. Hoping that she wouldn't say or do the wrong thing, she moved back to the bed and very carefully sat down. East was inspecting the room.
Nice decor, she said. I can see you've done your best with it.
She turned to Leela.
You have a good eye.
Thank you, said Leela carefully. East put a soft hand on her knee.
Really,
she said, her tone warm and friendly.
There's no need to be afraid. You're a very special person now, you know. Almost as special as me. And certainly as unique.
You're the richest fetch on station.
That's why I asked Nina to step back and let me have a chat with you.
As she spoke, Leela felt a soft breeze of divine reassurance pass across her emotions. A vast calm spread through her. Part of her was immensely glad of it. Part of her was deeply resentful.
Oh, I am sorry, East said. Managing your responses like that is something I just have to do. At least until we get to know each other a little better and you get used to me.
God, Leela gasped. I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm well off, I know, but why does that make me special? Why are you here?
The question amused East.
Bless you, she replied. So modest. You're a very powerful woman, Leela. In the last 2 days alone, you've spent more than you used to in 6 months. And I bet you've hardly even noticed.
Well, I've had other things to think about, Leela began. The god laughed delightedly and clapped her hands together.
Everything's changed. You'll never want for the finest in everything. Clothes, entertainment, travel. You're going to live the kind of life that most of humanity can only dream of.
She leant in. Lightly scented breath caressed Leela's face.
And here's the secret I've come to share.
Her voice dropped to a whisper. Everyone's going to want to watch you. Everyone's going to want to copy you. Because they know you'll only ever have the best. She sat back, beaming.
And I want to help them do it, she concluded triumphantly.
I'm not sure. I mean, it sounds lovely, but there are things I have to do, obligations to fulfill. She wondered whether to tell the god about Diodatus. Perhaps East already knew about her investigation. But then East chimed in, unstoppably.
Of course, lovely, she beamed. One life's ending and another one's beginning. That's never easy. And you do have a brother to mourn, she smiled brightly. But once that's done with, well, I have such a new life to dress you in. And the celebrity channels will adore you. Your people will be so very in this year.
I'll make sure of it.
I'm sure the fetch counsellor will be thrilled. It'll be so helpful.
Leela must have looked worried.
Oh, being non-human won't be a problem, East continued. Just look at what we've done with Hugo Fizzed. He's a ventriloquist dummy and everyone loves him. And of course, I won't force anything on you. You'll be free to shape your future, to live as you'd like to live, as someone rich enough to buy station from the gods, if you felt like it.
A moment's thought.
Not that we'd ever let you, of course.
She became conspiratorial again.
It's everybody's dream, to be able to do whatever they want, then share it all with the world.
Leela found that she didn't have too much to say. East rattled on, sketching out scenarios.
You could be an entrepreneur. We'll follow the businesses you invest in.
Found a hospital. Perhaps that would be a good outlet. And I'm sure a lovely way of remembering your brother. Get involved with my lovely gun kiddies. Though I'm not quite sure that's you. Or you could just party.
East didn't mention Diodatus. Leela assumed that she didn't know about it, so decided not to bring it up. She was sure that East would get very excited about it, and she was equally sure that hearing it played back to her as the basis for a new entertainment series,
perhaps you could find and solve a new crime every week,
would make her feel like the worst kind of dilettante. And of course, there was the more practical problem of corruption. If Cassiel was right, the Rose might somehow be colluding with Diodatus. Perhaps other gods had joined her. At last, East finished.
I'm so glad we've had this little talk, she said. I'm so excited about the work we'll do together.
But what if I don't want any of it? Asked Leela.
I know, said East sympathetically. It's a lot to get used to. But with great wealth comes great responsibility to all those who look up to you. Think of this as one way of managing that responsibility.
She leaned in and kissed Leela. The soft, warm touch of her lips left a tingle shaking through Leela's skin. She was infuriated to feel herself warmed by a sharp pulse of sexual desire.
Oh, I'm sorry, said the god. That happens to everyone. Please don't take it personally. Anyway, yes, of course, there are other options. And I'd hate to force you into anything you're not happy with. Remember that, Leela. I'll give you a few days to get used to it all. We'll talk again soon.
And then East was gone. And Leela was alone. The divine invasion had left her feeling exposed. As if her life was something that the gods could walk into and change on a whim. She imagined herself as East wanted her to be. A reality star. A brand puppet. Someone whose every movement or emotion would be interpreted as an endorsement or a sales pitch. She realized that she'd end up seeing herself like that too. That the authentic Leela would be so hard to hang on to.
Oh, Dieter, she groaned, falling back on her bed. I've got to find you.
She needed to move the investigation on as quickly as possible. Rather than waiting for any results from Ambrose, she'd share all the names in the Diodatus file with Cassiel, in return for full access to anything she found out. She thought about negotiating by mail, but worried about security. She also found herself quite looking forward to surprising the mind with her progress. So Leela messaged her, saying, "We need to meet up." Cassiel's reply was an address, a time, and a note. Congratulations on your discoveries. I look forward to learning more about the beneficiaries of the other two payouts. And the policyholders too, of course. Leela couldn't hide her frustration.
Oh, for God's sake, she said. How did she know?
Chapter 9 Cassiel was waiting at a corner table in a busy cafe, dressed in the same smart casual suit. Leela looked round, wondering if she'd see any more pressure men, but there were none. She sat down at Cassiel's table.
So, how did you work out I have the names? She began.
You need to ask, replied Cassiel, sounding a little surprised. I query INSEC for additional information daily. More in hope than expectation, I have to say. This morning, they referred me to you. You've bought the investigation. You must have the details of the other beneficiaries and the deaths that triggered Diodatus's payments to them.
Ah, of course.
Leela tried to sound blasé. Inside, she was kicking herself.
I just wanted to hear it in your own words.
And you're going to share them with me. Thank you. Leela readied herself for a negotiation.
Not unless I get something in return. I can do far more than you with them. I'm not hindered by your narrow personal focus, and I can draw on resources that would surprise you.
Leela thought of Ambrose. She smiled.
Yeah, me too.
I doubt even you can hire totality-level professionals within 24 hours. It's already done. Probably a cowboy. Someone I trust implicitly. With access to Pantheon-level Weave self-search engines, he's going to work out where Diodatus has taken Dieter. And will he succeed? Those machines don't always find what they're looking for. Leela said nothing. Cassiel sat back. And you won't have enough information on the other two beneficiaries to search so deeply for them, or even understand why they and your brother are so valuable to Diodatus. Without that knowledge, you might find it difficult to negotiate his return, even if you do locate him. And, of course, you won't be able to find out how Diodatus might represent a broader threat to our two societies.
Gods, Cassio, must you be so smug?
But the mind was right. I'm merely sketching out the situation. So we both share the same sense of it. Then let me do some sketching out of my own. I've got the names you need. You won't get them from anyone else. I won't give them to you unless you agree to share anything you find out about them, Diodatus and the whole shebang, with me. Clear? To Leela's surprise, Cassiel laughed. Soft light shimmered inside her. You know, I have to admit that you're pretty good at this. That is indeed very clear. But you've forgotten that I've already agreed to pass on any information I can. You gave me a maybe. I want a definitely. I want to know what you know, when you know it. Not just whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it. This is a totality, as much as a Pantheon matter. We're very careful about sharing information relating to our own internal affairs. Full disclosure or no deal. And you need to think about what you're getting into. We don't know what Diodatus is. The pressure men might be dangerous. The Rose is doing her best to block me. But she sold me the case. I'm a professional, Leela. You're not. Perhaps she saw you as less likely to succeed than me. Perhaps she thinks you'll be easier to neutralize. She hasn't threatened me so far. Look, I don't care how risky it is. Nothing's going to stop me from getting Dieter back. Are you going to help me? I'm not supposed to work with amateurs. You said you weren't bound by normal structures, that you played the devil's role. Doesn't that mean you can make your own rules? Cassiel chuckled again, the same soft light shimmering inside her. You're a hard person to argue with. She thought for a moment. Agreed, then. Full disclosure at all times, as soon as is conveniently possible. But I have a condition of my own. You don't make any major moves without talking to me first. I don't want to find myself tripping over you at a critical moment. Agreed? Leela couldn't see the sense in the mind's request, and if she needed to, she could always ignore it. She nodded. Now, the names? Said Cassiel. The policyholders were Andre Herrera and Mo Fafanwi. The payouts went to Herrera's partner and Fafanwi's daughter. Thank you, said Cassiel. A moment paused, then she continued. Intriguing. A competitive eating champion and a military psychiatrist. Excellent weave searching, Leela told her. But are you sure those are the right ones? She tried to give her voice an edge, but she was actually quite impressed. Oh, yes. Leela didn't want to ask how Cassiel was so sure. The mind stood up. I'll find out all there is to know about the four of them, and then I'll be in touch. She stepped away with an elegant, economical precision, then turned back and said, Oh, and there's one more thing. I've moved offices. An address flashed into Leela's mind. Noted. Leela was curious. Why? The flies. I had the room cleaned several times, moved within the complex. They always came back. Leela couldn't resist a jab. I thought that sort of thing wouldn't affect a professional like you. Cassiel took the question at face value. I should have been able to get rid of them, she agreed. I tried to swat them. She held a hand up. Fingers merged into a flat, wide, rectangular shape. With this, an instant for Leela to see, Then Nanogel deliquesced again, and Cassiel's hand reformed. But I could never even touch them.
They're tricky little sods, agreed Leela, remembering the fly in the hospital. It had been unusual too, she realized.
Shit, she said. I ran into a weave-enable fly in Dieter's room just after he died.
Have you seen any since?
Not that I've noticed. Were yours weave-enabled?
I didn't sense anything like that. Cassiel sounded worried.
Leela tried to reassure her. I only spotted it by accident.
No, said Cassiel. You don't understand.
Light flurried in the translucent nanogel of her head.
I'm a weapon, she continued. I have very high-level virtual and physical combat skills, but I could never hit a single one of those flies. And if they were digitally enabled, well, I didn't even see it. They blocked me, Leela.
The uncertainty in Cassiel's voice was unexpected. Now Leela was surprised to pick up the softest hint of fear. Chapter 10. Leela leaned back in one of Ambrose's armchairs. Her black pendant rolled against her chest. Virtual leather creaked comfortingly. His office was heavily overlaid with weave content. She'd never seen the reality that lay beneath it. She stretched her feet out towards the simulated fire that burnt in his office grate. She'd arrived a little early and, to kill a few minutes, had asked him to talk her through the small print of her deal with the Rose.
You do realize you're now fully responsible for the investigations into Dieter's death, he said, sounding very unimpressed.
Well, Insect weren't doing anything with it.
Yes, but if anything kicks off, you're on your own. Their duties are limited to making a final arrest of any demonstrably guilty parties. You should have just bought a majority share.
Well, it's done now. How soon till we can go and see what the search engine's found?
A few minutes.
He was at his desk, punching invisible keyboards, peering at invisible screens.
Just activating my old digital exploration security systems. Setting up buffer cells for us.
Seems a bit extreme.
That box scared me, Leela, Ambrose told her. If the search engines come back with any psychoactive malware piggybacking on them, I want to be ready. We're not taking any risks.
Leela nodded. A thought struck her. Did Dieter build all this? She asked.
He fine-tuned it. Look, if we're going to get set up for any exploring tonight, I need to concentrate.
He focused intently for a minute or so, then sighed with satisfaction, reclined his chair, and closed his eyes.
Taking a nap? Asked Leela. Making sure the meat wears comfortable. You'll see why when the buffer selves activate. You're about to get queried. Just say yes to everything, then we'll be good to go.
A tickle in her mind. And Ambrose's systems were talking to her. Leela's attention turned inwards as she gave them all the permissions they needed. A moment, then they pinged to let her know they were active. She looked back out at the room, where nothing seemed to have changed. Then Ambrose stood up, and there were two of them. His physical body lay unconscious on his chair.
Did Dieter ever show you any of this?
Leela shook her head. The standing Ambrose tapped his virtual chest.
This is a buffer self. Runs at one remove from my core consciousness. So if anything psychoactive attacks, it hits this version of me and stops there.
He nodded back at his physical body.
Keeps the real me safe. All my memory blocks and the chains they form together. Oh, and look at this.
He turned his head. A translucent silver cord stretched from the back of it down to the forehead of his physical self.
That's the link between us. Turns red if there's anything dodgy trying to force its way in. Stand up. You'll see yours.
Leela did so. Her cord also led back to a static version of herself. A photorealistic statue frozen in time. Her second self faded into transparency, then vanished.
That's my systems meshing with your home server, back at your flat. Pulling your core self back there.
Weird, she breathed. If something does attack us, what then?
Just trigger an exit countdown. Your buffer self-crashes your consciousness back into your core self and you're home safe. You'll end up back in your front room. The countdown takes about a minute, and crashing back leaves you with one hell of a hangover. But it's much better than the alternative. Leela had to agree. And now, Ambrose announced theatrically, the back door. He clicked his fingers and a mahogany paneled door appeared on an empty patch of wall. It's a bit like jumping, he told Leela. Only the buffer selves can't experience any sort of nausea. This side of it, my office in Docklands. Through there, the firm's offices in Homelands. He opened it and stepped into the bright light beyond. Come on through, he called back. Leela nerved herself and followed him. As Ambrose had promised, with the buffer self running, the jump between his office in Docklands and his family firm's homeland space made hardly any impression on her at all. Leela felt discomforted by the seamless location change. It left her feeling that the physical world was suddenly a little less real. She looked around, wanting to both understand where she was and let its solid physical presence wash over her and reassure her. The room that housed the Vadenheim family search engines was large and dimly lit. Its far wall was glass, about 12 foot high and 18 foot wide. It gave on to an ocean. Light rippled down from above. Fish drifted by, glitching the serenity with bright, jagged colours. An empty glass box, the size of a large coffin, sat on chrome legs in front of it. More sea, she commented. Is that a taste refresh festival thing? Oh, no, Ambrose replied. It always looks like this. The sea's a standard visual metaphor for all the data that floats around station. That's where our search engine's been hunting. A dark creature sliced past the window, cutting through the piece of it all like a knife. There was a head that came to a single focus point, a mouth like a gash, jagged with hard white teeth, and blade-sharp triangular fins. Leela held her breath as it passed, then exhaled as it vanished from the window. Others glided to and fro in the distance. Sharks, she breathed. Apex datavores, said Ambrose. I love seeing them up close. These are the search engines. The best there are. Leela glanced at the door. What if someone catches us? Ambrose shrugged. I'm synced with the usage schedules for these chaps. Nobody's going to be in here for the next hour or so. We'll be long gone by then. And if someone wanders in by accident, the buffer selves are pretty much invisible. Not quite ghost cloak standard, but we're still hard to see. He moved over to the glass coffin and waved his hand. A line of numbered shark icons popped into existence. He scrolled through it. And here's our little hunter, back with a full belly. His finger hovered over its icon. I hope it's just a location. Nothing more dangerous, he said nervously. Fascinated by the search engines, Leela didn't really hear him. Why sharks? She wondered. Insec wanted to track down weave selves bleeding a few bytes of data into an ocean of information. They needed to home in on individual weave caches and pick up the subtlest changes in them. Sharks are amazing hunters. They can detect one drop of blood in a million drops of water. They're profoundly sensitive to electrical impulses. So, we built our search engines around their neural structures, and we gave them bodies they recognized to minimize any consciousness displacement shock. CDS. Fetches had problems with that. She remembered a Coffin Drive's acquaintance trying to live as a dog. He'd lasted for a few days until the nightmares became too much to deal with, and he'd had to return to human form. Yes, you can transplant a mind into anything, but unless you do some heavy rewiring to help it deal with its new body, it'll freak out. So, has our shark found anything? Yes, it has. Leela saw how nervous Ambrose was. Is there any risk? She asked. Not really, but still. Ambrose sighed. It really shouldn't scare me anymore. An embarrassed laugh.
The coffin drive still freaked me out.
Leela put her hand on his shoulder.
I know what it's like.
He smiled weakly.
Well, here goes.
He closed his eyes, held his breath, and stabbed down on the shark icon. His nerves were infectious. Leela found herself wondering what she'd do if some broken, ancient piece of code lanced out of the shark and into her mind and started rewriting it. Memories of the blood and flesh plague shook through her. Something close to panic rose up. She forced the past back down again, but still started as the shark lanced into being in the glass coffin. Its eyes were misted with weaveware. The rest was hard and sharp, distilled by eons into lethal perfection. She looked to Ambrose.
All right.
Fear scratched at her. She hoped his silver shields wouldn't leap up around him. A moment, then Ambrose breathed a sigh of relief.
Yes, thank the gods.
Leela relaxed.
Thank you. I really appreciate this. Dieter will too.
I'd hate to lose him like we lost Cormac.
Figures danced in the air between Ambrose and the shark. Leela moved round the tank, fascinated by the creature.
And to be honest, it's about time I faced up to it all, continued Ambrose,
a nervous smile.
Can't hide from the past. That's not the Lazarus crew way.
The figures stilled, catching his attention.
Ah, great. It's found traces of his passage through the weave, regular stopping points.
They moved him back into the totality, then on from there. He peered at them.
Interesting. You said your totality friend couldn't find anything out about Diodatus.
Cassiel?
No, it's driving her nuts. The trail leads back to an old kingdom satellite. High Earth orbit, vintage stuff. Looks like it's been unused for quite a while.
Diodatus must be using it as an off-station base. Should have been easy enough for her to track down. It's not too deeply hidden.
I wonder why she couldn't see it.
Holt tried to stop me from digging too deep, mused Leela. Maybe they've been a bit more efficient with her. Hamstrung her without her even realizing it.
So, the totality isn't as all-powerful as you'd think. That's almost reassuring.
A thought struck Leela. This satellite, it's the kind of place you used to